Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Manias, Panics, and Crashes: A History of Financial Crisis is a classic work of financial history and economics by Charles P. Kindleberger, later updated by Robert Z. Eliber. First published in 1978 and issued in multiple revised editions, the book examines recurring financial upheavals across centuries, from early speculative bubbles to modern crises. Its central purpose is not merely to recount famous panics, but to explain why they recur with such regularity in credit-based economies. Kindleberger combines historical narrative with economic interpretation, showing how booms often begin with a disruption that changes profit expectations, then attracts speculation. Expanding credit, rising asset prices, euphoria, distress, and eventually panic. The book is widely regarded as a foundational text for understanding bubbles, collapses, and systemic instability. It is especially valued because it links individual market episodes to broader patterns in monetary vyavastha, investor psychology, and policy failure, making it useful for readers who want both historical perspective and a practical framework for interpreting financial crises. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book explains financial crises as a repeating sequence, not random accidents. Kindleberger's most important contribution is the idea that financial crises tend to follow a recognizable pattern, rather than treating bubbles and crashes as unique disasters. He shows that they emerge from a sequence of stages: displacement, speculation, credit expansion, euphoria, distress, and panic. This framework matters because it gives readers a way to identify where a market may be in the cycle and why the transition from optimism to collapse can happen so quickly. The displacement stage, such as a technological shift, policy change, or external shock, creates new profit expectations. Speculation then intensifies as investors buy assets mainly for expected price gains. Once credit expands, leverage reinforces the rise. The system becomes vulnerable when euphoria suppresses caution and distress begins to expose weak balance sheets. This sequence is the book's analytical core, and it helps explain why financial crises often look different in detail, but similar in structure across time. Secondly, historical case studies give the theory its force and credibility. The book is built around a long historical sweep, which is one reason it remains influential. Kindleberger does not rely on abstract modeling alone. He draws on episodes such as the South Sea Bubble, the Tulip Mania, the Great Depression, and later international crises to show how the same broad pattern recurs in different eras and markets. This historical method gives the argument credibility because readers can see the mechanisms operate in concrete settings rather than as a purely theoretical claim. The case studies also demonstrate that crises are not confined to one country, one century, or one type of asset. They can arise in stocks, real estate, currencies, or credit markets whenever optimism, leverage, and fragile funding conditions combine. By comparing episodes across centuries, the book encourages readers to focus less on surface differences and more on structural similarities. That comparative perspective is one of its defining strengths and explains why it is still widely assigned in finance and economics programs. Thirdly, credit expansion and leverage are treated as the fuel of instability. A major theme in the book is that financial booms are amplified by the supply of credit. Kindleberger, drawing on ideas associated with Hyman Minsky, emphasizes that credit is often pro-cyclical. It expands when asset prices rise and contracts when conditions worsen. This dynamic makes financial systems inherently unstable because rising prices encourage more borrowing, and more borrowing pushes prices higher still. The result is a feedback loop in which leverage increases vulnerability even while participants feel safer. Kindleberger shows that the danger is not only speculative enthusiasm, but also the institutional willingness of lenders, intermediaries, and markets to finance it. Once asset prices stop rising, highly leveraged positions become difficult to sustain, and forced selling can accelerate the downturn. This focus on credit helps explain why crises are often more severe than ordinary market corrections. The book's treatment of leverage is especially relevant because it connects private incentives with systemic fragility, rather than blaming collapse on isolated mistakes. Fourthly, investor psychology and collective euphoria drive the bubble phase. Kindleberger gives serious attention to behavior, but he does so in a disciplined historical and economic way. He shows that financial manias are sustained by collective confidence, imitation, and the belief that rising prices justify themselves. During the euphoria phase, investors stop asking whether an asset is intrinsically valuable and focus instead on whether someone else will buy it later at a higher price. This social dynamic is crucial because it turns speculation into a mass phenomenon. The book suggests that bubbles are not merely errors of calculation. They are reinforced by stories, expectations, and the visible success of early participants, which makes caution seem outdated. That psychological insight is one reason the book has lasted. It helps explain why intelligent people repeatedly participate in unsustainable booms. Kindleberger does not reduce crises to psychology alone. but he makes clear that emotion and herd behavior interact with credit conditions. Together, they create the conditions in which rational judgment weakens and excess becomes normal. Lastly, the book argues that policy and monetary structure shape crisis severity. Another distinctive feature of the book is its attention to institutions and policy. Kindleberger argues that financial crises are not simply the result of bad actors or individual greed. Instead, they often reveal weaknesses in the broader international monetary arrangement and in the policy response to distress. In his view, a stable financial system requires a lender of last resort and coordinated intervention when panic threatens to spread. Without such support, solvent institutions can fail because of illiquidity, and a local disturbance can become a systemic collapse. This perspective separates the book from accounts that treat crises as moral failures or isolated market errors. It also makes the work relevant to central bankers and policymakers, not just investors. Kindleberger's emphasis on institutional design helps readers understand why some downturns are contained while others become global depressions. The book therefore functions not only as financial history, but also as a study of how monetary systems and public authority influence the scale of instability. In conclusion, Manias, Panics, and Crashes is best suited to readers who want a serious, historically grounded explanation of financial instability, rather than a quick guide to trading or a simple chronology of famous market disasters. Investors, economists, policymakers, central bankers, students of finance, and informed general readers can all benefit from its framework because it links repeated market behavior to deeper structural causes. Its practical value lies in helping readers recognize the warning signs of speculative excess, credit acceleration, and fragile liquidity before a crisis fully unfolds. Its intellectual value lies in showing that crises are patterned events shaped by incentives, institutions, and collective behavior. What makes the book stand out among other finance texts is its combination of breadth and interpretive discipline. It is not only a history book and not only a theory book. It uses history to build a durable explanatory model. That balance, along with its relevance to modern crises, is why it remains a standard reference decades after publication. If you would like to support Charles P. Kindleberger, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.